Hey everyone, welcome back to Hash It Out. I'm your host, Tapiwa. I'm so excited to have this episode, but first we're going to do a check-in. Hava, Wall, how are you guys doing today?
Doing all right.
Doing good, doing good. The week did fly by, but we
Sure
made it
did.
to Friday.
Yeah, and we're about to start fall break, so that's really exciting.
Very exciting.
Anyone doing anything over fall break?
Studying.
Studying, unfortunately, it happens. But I say that, and then fall break comes, and I'm doing absolutely nothing.
Just
So,
flies by as well.
yeah, it's not a catch up like 2 days for me at all.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to study as well, but I'm
Yeah.
also gonna take time to rest.
For sure.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on, and I need my own time.
I
To
agree.
self-care is important.
Very important.
So, getting into the topic, we just want to do a quick trigger warning for those. We are talking today about the patriarchy. So, if that is a topic or something that you have a trouble talking about or listening to, please take a time away from the podcast and maybe catch us at the next episode. But if you are interested in hearing about this topic, please continue listening. Don't forget to rate and subscribe and to chime in the comments as well. So, without further ado, Hava, will you tell us what is the patriarchy?
So just to give a verbatim definition of what the patriarchy is, I will read it off. And the patriarchy is a set of cultural values and roles that specify how women and men should be and act. It's based on a belief that men have an inherent right to dominate and that women should be subservient, selfless caregivers. So one example of this in our current society would be just the gender hierarchy, how, for example, men are expected to have masculine traits, they're supposed to be like stronger, very self-resilient, and have more, be thinking with a more rational mind. And then women, very feminine attributes, as society claims to be, very emotional, illogical, caregivers, household caretakers, stuff like that. So yeah, and then just to jump off of that, the patriarchy, it just encompasses how our society favors men. It's all based on a man's perspective. Men rule our society pretty much. We abide by their rules, and everyone that is not part of that societal standard will just fall underneath it. And that includes women. And if we want to go into more specifics, everyone that doesn't fall into the white, straight man agenda will fall under that. Or even, because it would probably, I mean, if I'm talking more opinion based, I'll probably say it goes white men and then men of color and then literally every other, well, white women and then every other woman around. And black women, obviously, our country's just very colorist. We still travel in a very anti-black sentiment, and that could be said all over the world too. So black women always get the short end of the stick in every situation. So yeah, and that's just more on the levels of how we run as a society, pretty much. But yeah, what are y'all's thoughts on that?
Okay. I think that, what you've said is very true. I think there's a lot of stereotypes surrounding, the feminine and masculine attributes to the point where it's not, in this framework, it's not about the expression of those things. It's more so about, like you said, an agenda to put people in a box and honestly to further perpetuate white supremacy. I mean, that's just what it is.
I agree.
I think it's important that, when we're talking about the gender hierarchy, that we also include, the people who identify as, different genders, in the LGBTQ community, because they're also like totally left out in this system. They're invisible. And you never want people to feel like they're invisible or they don't have an opportunity. Like we think about women in the workplace. Women have broken down so many doors, but still to this day, you'll have people thinking that women can't do certain things, or in certain countries, women can't get an education to this day. So, like you said, this framework, it does more harm to society than good, and those trying to preserve it obviously benefit from that system.
And I think something like that we're really dealing with in terms of like the problem is the fact that many people still don't recognize it as a problem. And I feel like before we can even like talk about solutions, we have to recognize the problem. And I feel like that's something we're struggling to do. I feel like with society, like you guys said, being a white male dominated society, those individuals that we're trying to, you know, reach out to and like say, we're calling you out on, you know, on your faults, do they even recognize it as a fault? And then some counter arguments that, you know, other individuals might make is that, oh, we passed so-and-so law or we changed this, mm-hmm. and yet here we are.
Yeah.
So what does that tell us? Mm-hmm. Are we really, yeah, we're bringing up minute solutions, but are we acknowledging the problem in its full, you know, on its full scale?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that's also something that's not talked about enough. Like, I feel like we do a lot of back and forth on, well, like the general society, we do a lot of back and forth on this is wrong, this is right, it should be like this, you think like this, I think like that.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I don't even think the people who are trying to argue understand what it is that they're arguing for.
Yeah, I agree. And just for the listeners to give some like examples of how much the patriarchy gets into our society, like there's very common expressions that are being used to just demean women. Like, for example, you fight like a girl. It's something that we all, like, you know,
right.
we've been hearing that since you're, like, a kid, right? And, like, I've even used that against, like, my own siblings, for example. Like, I'll just say that because it's just something we use. And we might not think of it as harsh in the moment, but if we really take a moment to critically think about certain statements such as that, like, it really puts women such a, like, precise box where, like, you were saying, like, we can't do anything other than that. Like, we are seen as such, like, weak, fragile.
Yeah, and it's like, again, going back to how I don't even think we're doing enough to recognize it as a problem. Very subtle things like, for example, that's what she said jokes. I don't think if you really like think deep into it, mm-hmm. in a way that on its own, although it's, you know, it's just, you know, passed off to be a simple joke,
mm-hmm.
but there are underlying factors that allow us to really see that, no, this is derogatory towards
mm-hmm.
women,
mm-hmm.
but we play it off as a simple, subtle joke. And I feel like there's a lot of those subtle, you know, those subtle attacks that
mm-hmm.
we're not recognizing. And until we can recognize those subtle things at that minute level, I don't think people like the people who we're trying to target, which is, you know, mostly the white male audience,
mm-hmm.
will really know what the battle is here.
Yeah. Do you guys think as a society we'll ever get to a point where we're at an equal level, men and women, where like those kind of jokes, like for example, like the P word, you know, the one to describe women's genitals, like you know how that's used around a lot?
Like the president used it, like our
previous
president used it and said it, and so, and they found a clip from, I mean, it was a long time ago,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, instead of him saying, you know what, like, that was messed up what I said, I'm
mm-hmm.
sorry, and I know that, you know, I wouldn't use that language today, especially as president. He kind of doubled down on it,
yeah,
you know?
Like, it's just a joke.
It's just a joke. It's locker room talk.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is what men do in the locker room. They talk like that.
And it's like that toxic masculine culture that's being created.
But, I mean, to that, I will also say that, like, although, you know, the female genitals are sometimes used as a derogatory term.
Mm-hmm.
I could also say that like male genital parts are also used as a derogatory term.
Okay, yeah.
So like I feel like we should recognize that, like that aspect of it as well. Although we know, you know, when it's commonly used, again, that would be that's another example, like those
mm-hmm.
subtle things that
yeah.
we don't really recognize. But in terms of like that, you know, quote unquote P word specifically, I have to say that I also have to recognize, oh, I've seen a lot of guys be like, oh, he's being a blank head. You
yeah.
feel me? So
mm-hmm.
that's also something that we should also recognize as well.
And there's that conversation where, you know, it's like, have you ever heard the thing that, like, not all men? Have you heard that statement?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like, not all men. And I do agree, like, men also get berated for certain things. Like, we do live in a world where men also get berated. I mean, one of the highest... Estimate men commit more suicide than women do. Like, there's things amongst, like, men culture that talks about masculinity. So I was saying, like,
yeah.
people get dragged down. Like, we don't fit into that standard of what, like, the patriarchy sets you by. You will be berated as a man. You will feel weak. You will feel insecure. And you probably can talk more on that. Like, there's certain things that if you don't abide to that, you'll probably feel way worse. And now you got the eyes of women that maybe like play into that whole patriarchy thing and are seeking like this like perfect man, right? That like does everything, all the above. But yeah, I understand where it's like.
Yeah, it's a very like.
I do see that.
I feel like another thing, like now that you bring up like the idea of toxic masculinity, mm-hmm. now like it just allows us to see that we're in a very like. It's a very disorganized loop that's just coursing itself in a very odd way, because in the same breath that we're talking about the patriarchy, now there's also like the idea of toxic masculinity and how men in a way aren't allowed to be men. So like in the same breath that we're trying to say that, you know, the white male majority should also see what it's doing to the female audience, now we also have an aspect where men are trying to be from the bottom up, the same system of patriarchy that's being used yeah. to say that, you know, we're being offensive towards women is being used to like mm-hmm. create another level of standards towards men. Mm-hmm. So it's like, where does it end now?
Yeah. I'll say like, while it affects women more, it still affects men.
Yeah. So it's like, it's a very odd, that's why I call it an odd loop.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And when that kind of thing happens, like you get, at least from what I see, like in a men perspective, the people that don't fit into that standard of what mm-hmm. a man should be, like become, like, have y'all heard of incels?
Yes.
No, yeah. I haven't. What is it?
Incels are like men that basically
they're involuntarily celibate. Yeah. That's the where the incel part is.
Yeah. Because they think that they, like, a woman should do everything I want. Like, they fall into this. So, okay, I was reading this thing, and it's basically a guy. He asked out this girl.
And it was from Reddit, right?
Yeah, I was reading it. And then he asked out this girl, and pretty much she said, no, like, you're just not my type, but thank you, right? He turns to this hateful person where it's like, oh, like, you think you're too much. You, like, you should be with me. Like, they are entitled to a woman. Like, they think that they should be entitled to a woman, right? And I think that toxic masculine culture that is set kind of creates those incels where they just kind of hate women. And I do fault them, actually, because they're grown and they make their own actions to behave that way. But it's part of that system where they have to hate themselves so much and radiate that hatefulness towards women because they can't fall into, like, that standard. Like, if one woman rejects you, I mean, like, all, like, you know, the whole women's sphere will reject you as well, right? So I can see, like, there's certain things where I see both sides, and there are two sides to everything. Obviously, it affects, like, women more, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I see the sentiment behind the male side that don't fall into that, you know, that little standard. But, yeah.
I think you're right, because pretty much what Awal said about, like, it being a cycle, it's like, because of toxic masculinity, a lot of men, you know, aren't able to talk about their feelings and, you know, navigate whatever it means to be a man, you know, to them, any struggles that they have. And they don't really have that kind of community. But it's like a lot of the podcasts, like you said, especially the incel ones or the Reddit threads, mm-hmm. they use that as a community to bond over toxic masculinity. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, because some of those men aren't fitting the stereotype that they're even holding themselves to, they have trouble interacting with women because they don't have, like, the, I guess, guidance or information to be able to understand women.
Mm-hmm.
And they think that they should be beneath them. They should serve them, like you said. And then women are looking at men like, oh, well, if you're not macho,
yeah.
if you're not a pro athlete, mm-hmm. or you have a provider, you don't have money, like,
yeah.
what can you offer me?
Mm-hmm.
And so exactly. I think, like, women definitely put that standard on men as well.
And then the idea of, like, you know, how people often say that, oh, as a woman, what do you bring to the table? And then the response, I am the table. Like, that on its own.
Period.
I'm just kidding.
I feel like that, you know, state of mind on its own, it just goes to show us that.
How do y'all, like, as a man,
I feel like.
That statement, like, how do you feel about that statement?
That's an insane statement to really? Make. Like, what do you mean I'm the table? Like, to me, like, personally, like,
mm-hmm.
I feel like Personally, I believe in 50-50.
Really? I don't.
Personally, I don't think there's anything wrong with 50-50. I really, why? Why do you say that?
Because.
What?
I'm like, because.
No,
no,
here's.
I don't.
Why?
Really
you don't?
Don't.
Why?
Because, okay. This
Uh-oh, this podcast just took a turn.
Because let's say.
In an ideal world, I think.
Where we're both working the same.
Yeah, in an ideal world, I think.
So you're
going to
also be taking care of, like, everything else.
You
home.
Should, yeah. The, like, maybe not. I mean. The way tasks are split up can be, you know, divided in different ways. But I feel like the level of effort on all fronts should be the equivalent of I'm putting in the same energy that you're putting in.
Okay.
So, but, like, what that energy looks like and how it's applied may vary from because people have different dynamics within their individual households.
Yeah.
But the level of effort should be consistent towards your partner no matter what. That's what I mean by 50-50.
Okay. I agree with
I don't
that.
Think that's what people, when they say 50-50,
yeah,
that,
but
like,
see,
I get
I
what you're
like
saying.
When, if we establish that concept of, when we say 50-50, if we establish this as, like, you know, the idea of we're being consistent towards each other in terms of, like, what we're doing for each other, I think when we apply that, you know, in the emotional sense and the financial sense, it would make sense. Because what, I mean, when people say 50-50, it should be, like, they often mean, oh, my husband or whatever pays this, gives this, and an argument that I often hear from many women is that the emotional support that they are providing is basically like, you know, the equivalent of whatever you're doing for me financially. Mm-hmm. And then that makes me question, how exactly do we like quantify emotional contribution?
Okay.
Especially like, because that may look, I mean, that may look different in many relationships, but if we're going to use emotional contribution as a standard, how do we measure that standard?
Okay.
So that's why I feel like the idea that, oh, you just provide X amount of money and I just support you at home emotionally, how do you quantify that level of, like, there's no way to measure it. I can like actively measure how much time I'm putting in work and how many hours I do at work and how many hours, I mean, how much X amount of money I provide to, you know, a family. But again, how do we quantify?
It's priceless, and that's the thing.
But see, I mean, priceless to what level?
Okay,
like,
let me say this. There's a lot of like, or there's a side of TikTok basically called, like, you know, basketball wives or athlete wives TikTok, right? And I randomly got on there. I don't know why, because I'm very much a working woman, but hey. I saw a lifestyle that, you know, I was like, you know what? I could do that. No, but she was like getting his stuff ready. Like, she's married to a pro athlete, a basketball player, and she like gets his clothes ready. He was sleeping in the bed, like in the video. He was like in the bed. We don't know what happens behind people's closed doors, but he was like, you know, resting, and she was getting his outfit for the day, getting his gym bag ready, getting his food ready. And then she like woke him up gently, and she was playing some like soft music and like helping him, and got his like some of his rehab stuff so that he can prepare to, you know, go work out and stuff. Iced him, massaged him, and everything. And I think, you know, is every woman who says they want everything paid for doing that? I don't know, but if I were to see a dynamic like that and the man say it's still 50-50 and she's like literally catering to you every day, that's where I kind of say no. You, and also I think in marriage, like, you're not going to be 50-50. Mm-hmm. Like you said, the effort should be there. But the truth is, like, sometimes one person is 80 and the other person is 20. Sometimes one person is 70, the other person's 30. Mm-hmm. Just because you never know, someone's having a bad day, they're struggling, health, whatever. And so when people say 50-50, it scares me, because if, especially when women or any birthing person is, you know, having a baby, is pregnant, oftentimes they can't do as much. And then you're still expecting them to pay 50-50. I don't know, because that you may get upset. You may be like, yeah, I understand my wife is pregnant. I understand that she has to take care of the kids or do whatever. But also, like, when I came to this marriage, I didn't think my income was going to cover all of these bills. So that's where I get kind of worried when men say 50-50, because they're not saying it the way that you're saying it.
Yeah. And
okay.
Then,
go ahead.
So I also said I don't agree with 50-50, but this might look like I'm playing into the patriarchy. So, like, I'm like, oh, a man should be doing this and this and this for me or whatever, right? Or for women. But I think we're all gonna, like, you, what you want, you're gonna seek, right? If I am expecting not to play into the whole, like, 50-50 thing, I will obviously seek for someone that is on the same, like, mindset as me, right? And then if you want someone to play that wants the whole 50-50 thing, you're gonna obviously seek that someone that is okay with that whole 50-50 thing, right? So that's the way we can, like, not necessarily fall into this whole, like, patriarchy thing, because even, like, if someone were to hear me saying, like, oh, I don't think it should be 50-50. I think a man should be doing everything for a woman. I think a man should be paying for everything for a woman, you know? For example, someone might say that, like, oh, you're falling into a whole patriarchy thing. You're, like, you're literally agreeing to something you're not agreeing with. And that's where, you know, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, I will look for someone that is okay with those things, because I'm sure there is someone that is okay with that, you know?
So I feel like now with you saying that, I feel like the fault that we, I feel like we kind of made and that society in general has made is that when we say relationship, we often label, we give it a, like an automatic label of like, you know, man does this, woman does this. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it should really be a more broad thing of like the dynamic with my partner should be this rather than like a man does this, a woman does that.
Okay.
Dynamic I expect with my partners to be in this sense. So I feel like the other fault is that there isn't really a standard way to regulate human dynamic, especially in one that is intimate, that transcends, you know, what we normally see. Like, for example, I feel like the standard relationship that the majority of people hold in life are friendships. So I feel like we have to kind of, there's no one key consistent standard that can say that this dynamic should always operate in this sense.
Yeah.
And I feel like trying to like box it in, it should operate like this because you hold this identity or this other person holds this identity. That's kind of the fault of society, I guess.
That's a really good lens to look at. Yeah, I haven't thought of that.
So I have a question. Because you made a point about how, like, we don't have, like, a way to, like, regulate society and, like, overall make people have relationships in certain ways that society wants. Like, why do you think with the patriarchy, I'm getting this feeling that they do want to regulate? You know what I mean? Because Hava said she will look for someone who matches her values. And I think that should be the same for everyone. Yeah. Whether that couple's 50-50 and they come on Twitter or TikTok and they show their life as a 50-50 couple, or another couple shows their life as the man is paying for everything, or another family the woman is doing everything. Like, where do we separate culture from like systems like the patriarchy? Like, how do we differentiate, like, because there are some women who do want to be like the traditional wife, but they don't necessarily buy into the patriarchy. Mm-hmm. But on the outside looking in, we may look at, especially as women, look at her like, oh, she's feeding into the patriarchy. Yeah. Which Hava, you mentioned, like, I don't want to look like I'm feeding into the patriarchy.
No,
but you still don't want to be 50-50. Mm-hmm. Like, 50-50 doesn't necessarily mean feminism.
Yeah, and I will say, I think we're so, like, a society, we want everyone to fit into a certain thing. Like, we're so persistent with wanting, like, we all have to be this way, we all have to be this way. Like, we're all so different. We all have different values, we all have different opinions, we all grew up differently, you know? Like, I don't think we're taking that into account, because a lot of, like, these people I see speaking out are saying, like, oh, a woman should be doing this, a man should be doing that, this is how their relationship should work, that's not what she wants, that's not what he wants, all that stuff. Like, it's because we want all society to behave a certain way, where I think we're all different. Like, what I want is not what you may want. What I want is not what you may want. You know, like, we're all very different people, we all have different values. So I think, I don't know if there is a way to fix that, because there's still going to be people thinking that, like, oh, what you're doing is wrong, and I'm going to call it out because you're doing this, that, and the third, right? So I don't know if there's, like...
So I feel like rather than, like, trying... even, like, the idea of, like, trying to find, like, a way to fix that, I feel like we shouldn't necessarily think that. It should be more of a... find a dynamic that works for you.
Yeah.
And with what you were saying about how there are some women who, like, say... this is the lifestyle I want. Like, I want to be like pampered. Like, what if that is what I want in life as a woman? What it like? So I feel like ultimately it leads us to say that there isn't really a solution, and really the solution is follow your personal preference. If you want to give a solution, quote unquote,
And
is to
like,
follow your,
and like not put that judgment onto others, you
yeah.
know? As long as no one's being hateful or anything, like that's it. Like, you move your way, I'll move my way, and we'll live like in society like that. My beliefs don't have to intersect with yours. And I think, I mean, I feel like we can see that all over the world, like where beliefs are clashing and that turns into something big, like because we want everyone to fall into a certain aspect, you know? Like, I can't, I. My values are my values. I will never impose my values onto someone else. Simple as that. But yeah, and I think aside from moving into like this conversation that we had, I think systematically and just government-wise in our American society, back to the whole like aspect of the systematic patriarchy, we see a lot of men filling like those roles that women haven't had for like hundreds of years. Like, what was it like up until maybe like 100 years ago or something like that, that women finally started being able to have like the ability to fill those roles and everything. So yeah, I mean, to go back to that, men still hold a lot of positions of power and women are still the ones falling under that, even with wages, for example. A lot of people like to say that, oh, well, women just don't fight enough for like getting a higher raise. Women just like don't speak out as much. And sure, that may be true, but even if a woman were to speak out, their voice is not as valued as a man's voice. If a woman is quote unquote nagging about something, she'll be like, oh, like it's just, she's so emotional, she's so irrational, like she just wants to fight. But if a man is, speaks up and it's like, oh, I want this raise, I want this, that, and obviously his voice is gonna be taken more into consideration than a woman's. But yeah, I was just trying to like reel us back into the whole systematic aspect of this.
Yeah, and because yeah, it has like it's been statistically proven that like if you say you're a woman on your resume, that's an automatic knock to your resume, and like in terms of, like just holding positions and just power in office and all that, I feel like. Okay, so in terms of that, how do you guys think we can like, is there a systematic way to approach fixing such thing or?
I think it starts with those people in power, right? Because they have to set, like, there has to be some way to, like, check someone, like, in how they're acting, or, like, I don't.
Because I feel like, I mean, especially in the United States, I don't think, well, this isn't. These aren't stats, so don't quote me on this. But just from like the general outside impression, my inside perspective, I think our country has more women being active in politics than I'd probably say any other country that I can think of.
I'll agree with that, but that doesn't mean
It doesn't. No, yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't really. I'm talking. Well. In the context of United States and where, well,
and the
yeah,
whole
in what,
world.
yeah, in what context are we talking? Like, let's define that
Oh,
first.
America.
Okay, yeah, in context to America, I think we're moving along, but obviously, like, it's not good enough,
Yeah, we're
and.
very like behind. I mean, like most men literally like are the ones that make decisions in like every aspect, like government wise, company wise, like every in every aspect. So like childcare was a good example of it, actually. When a woman like gives birth or something. Oh, actually, this might a
Oh.
little controversial one with like when a woman, the amount of time that a woman can take off after she gives birth is not the same amount of time that a man can. Like, it's a short time period. Isn't that correct?
For
Yeah,
men.
for men,
Yeah,
you
for
only get,
men.
what is it, like, is it a couple
Oh,
weeks?
let's look it up.
Yeah,
Yeah,
let's
please
use
say
our,
something.
let's use the internet.
But
But I
it's
think
for
it's
sure that. But what are y'all's
about like
thoughts
a
on
month,
that?
but.
Like, you, for example, would you like care for that? Like,
Yeah, I mean, I feel
maybe.
like it's not because it's assuming that, oh, your partner slash wife will be there and she can cover
Yeah.
in this sense, but what if I was a single man and now I have this child? Like,
Yeah.
in what world do I raise a child in?
Yeah.
Like, how long is it? In a month?
It's 12 weeks for men. Oh, it says like maternity 6 to 8 weeks. So it's I'm getting different answers. I got 12 weeks under the law for any employees of unpaid. But I think maybe they did change it.
Okay, well, that's a step in the right
Yeah, I
direction.
think they did change it. I think it's paid parental leave under the FEPLA is limited to 12 work weeks and may be used during the 12-month period during the date of birth or placement involved.
Okay.
And that applies for both men and women.
Yeah, it applies for both men and women, but I think that there was a time in the United States where that wasn't the case. I know growing up that was the case, and I also think it may have not been like just a law thing. I think it was like an unspoken thing that men just didn't take paternity leave
Yeah, they just.
culturally.
And now that's where we cycle back to the idea of patriarchy and toxic masculinity. Because again, we're trying to like define everyone's daily life and, you know, the interactions that they have with their own situations and dynamics to say that we can establish a standard when there's no way to like regulate your life in terms of like your social interactions and social situations. There's just no way to consistently have a plan that we can follow to say under this regulation you do X, Y, and Z. So.
I agree.
And it negatively impacts families when, like, they're not, like, the mother is doing everything right, and then she's stressed out, tired, and just really not able to be there. And it causes, like, rifts in families. And I wish that there was more support for men to take, like, that paternal leave. But also, like, now that we know there's access, like, men should also not feel like, oh, I'm gonna, my job is at stake or something. I'm gonna lose a project because they're taking paternity leave. Like, I think it's looked differently in work culture when men are on paternity leave than women.
Yeah, and I think it just goes to show that in the same sense that we need to like the white male audience needs to reevaluate its, you know, its idea or its approach of how it views women. In that same sense, there also needs to be a look in the mirror as to we need to reevaluate ourselves as men as well. Because I feel like, in the same way, like you guys say, yeah, patriarchy holds back both men and women. Because I feel like that's like the idea that, you know, at one point, I don't know if it's, you know, we're not fully sure if it's different now, but the idea that men don't get the same, you know, access to help that a woman would get for paternity leave, there's a reason for that. And that reason is that, like you guys said, and like especially in work culture, in a white male dominated space, it's not, it hasn't been made acceptable for a man to do such thing. So I feel like another step is kind of seeing that, okay, let's change. Maybe we should change our views on this. So.
So I have a question, Walt. What made you not fall into the culture of like the red pill or the
That's a
incel
good
like
question.
community? Like, 'cause we act like these are just like outlandish thoughts and people are crazy and going on these podcasts, but the reason why they're popular is 'cause there's a large amount of men who do follow this type of ideology. Like, what made you not venture into that route?
I'm a reasonable person, and I try to consistently stay in line in the lines of reason and consistently dive in, you know, my own. Basically, yeah, keep it fair, equity and fairness.
And like, so, 'cause like, back to like what happened with like the whole Trump thing and the locker room talk, like, do you think you ever felt like in the locker room or a situation like that? It doesn't have to be a locker room, it's just an example.
An example.
Just being with other males and feeling like maybe I stick out like a sore thumb because of the way that I think, or do you feel like you were able to be in those systems or that situation and not feel a certain way?
I mean, I would say in terms of, like, you know, like, because I am an athlete and I have been in many locker rooms. I feel like for me, because I do see a lot of guys dive into those jokes, mm-hmm. and I don't let it, you know, I don't let it trigger me, because I know, I mean, I also know you outside of that environment. Now, if it's like you consider, like, I feel like, although this may sound wrong, I know when you're joking, but then where I would like have an active problem where it's like, you know, I can't even be around you if I deem it that you genuinely believe that, like, mm-hmm. do you actually believe that this is right, or like women are just whatever you want mm-hmm. to like label them as? So I feel like for me, what I've had to do is kind of differentiate between, are you serious, or are you just trying to like talk outlandish for the sake of being outlandish? Because I feel like another recent trend we've seen on social media is that people talk crazy just for the sake of talking crazy. Like, a lot of people who like say these like crazy things on the internet, mm-hmm. they don't believe it. Mm-hmm. They don't believe it. And like if you like, because like if they genuinely had to like answer a question, like, you know, innately, ethically, morally, do you actually believe that this, you know, notion that you're putting out there? I feel like there's a lot of people mm-hmm. that would say, if they could answer truthfully, they don't actually believe it. But when you talk erratic, when you talk crazy like that, it gathers attention. And I think we can side Donald Trump with, can we say that?
You can,
yeah.
Okay, yeah, we can cite our recent, you know,
yeah,
one of our.
Yeah, he said it. I mean, yeah, like, I mean,
he said many erratic things that have just untrue statements. But within that, did we not see how it was able to rile up an entire country into believing those false? So it's like, in a way that, in a way, I feel like we have to be able to like kind of just. I don't know. I'm trying to put what I'm thinking into words here, but
decipher what's real and like, yeah, what people's real intentions are with.
Yeah, because I feel like a lot of people talk crazy, but then the effect that social media has now is that, in a way, it's brainwashing people that, in the sense that this guy talking crazy, you know, just for the hell of it, just to
get money and views,
gather this, mm-hmm. has not returned in this viewer actually saying, oh, this is right, and there's a lot of people kind of, you know, moving on with this. Maybe, yeah, you know, this the one. Let me move along in this mentality, and then subtly, like, you just kind of slowly and, like, subtly kind of shift your whole perspective, and it kind of just, in a way, I feel like people's minds get warped, and you're kind of just conditioned to actually, you know, think in such manner. Because, again, using the example of Donald Trump, there are, during, like, yeah, the whole COVID cycle, mm-hmm. there were a lot of, like, just plain untrue things that were mm-hmm. said about COVID and where it came from and the vaccines. And any reasonable person of, you know, academia could reason that, okay, you know, that's just not true. Like, I know, although this is my field, with me being an educated individual, I know you're just talking. But then slowly over time, as certain notions were constantly fed and perpetuated, people kind of just started to, I'm going to just agree with it. And then out of nowhere, you, a person who knows something was initially wrong, has now kind of shifted your whole mindset for the sake of, you know, someone that I like and someone that you know, that I acknowledge as, you know, you're someone that I want to listen to, you're someone that I want to follow, because that person has consistently fed you a certain notion, you kind of just allowed yourself to go with it. At first, I feel like for most people at first, you know, they just kind of ignored it, and then it kept being fed, and then now they felt like they kind of had to acknowledge it. So, Because for you to say that I don't agree with that kind of means you're going against your quote unquote your leader. So rather than going against your leader, you kind of just accepted the notion that your leader was spitting. And from that, you ended up in a place where you yourself have now warped yourself into thinking that this is right. So taking that back to social media, these influencers that they may or may not believe that, but because they have such followings, they slowly but surely kind of warp their audience. And now we have the resultant maniacs that we often see online now who repeat the same things that they got from so-and-so's podcast. So, and I feel like that's just, I mean, in terms of, yeah, for me, I just try to like always, I don't want to say think outside the box because that's quite cliche, but really, I try to consider like all avenues of thought in which, a certain issue could be viewed. Are there other forms of reason? Like, because, like, for me, the way I always like to think is that even though I may or may not agree with something, I always try to see what lines of reason may have led someone to end up where they are. I may not agree with that reason, but I can see how step one led to step two, three, four, and so on. And I kind of see why this is how you got to where you were. So on any topic, I just kind of like try to like reason out what steps of reasoning would say that this could be wrong. Because for me, I try to like do both. Find the steps of reason that could allow someone to agree with something, and then find steps of reason that could allow someone to not agree with something. And then from that, I ultimately like discern what can we truly say is the right thing, but then that's just, then it comes down to like your own morals and
Morals and
ethics.
values, yeah.
So, yeah, so just keeping an open mind in that general sense of let's at least try to reason. But then if you ultimately just like decide that there's a fault in your line of reasoning along the way here, that's where we're off. That's because that's usually what it comes down to. Like it'll often start from like a place of good reasoning, but then there's a little flip, and then from that flip we have a whole branch that's just dead roots. Now I mean, when we connect those branches, they connect. Like it's true, like one thing leads to the next and it makes sense, but there's an underlying trunk to that branch that's inverted, and like it just doesn't make sense. It's ambiguous. So when we kind of like take out that ambiguous branch, the whole thing just collapses. And that's often what I see in most, in most arguments. So yeah, like if you use the wrong evidence, you can wrongly prove, you can prove something if you, yeah, it's like you can prove something if you use incorrect evidence that just satisfies the argument. But once you invalidate that evidence, the whole argument collapses. So just trying to identify those incorrect branches that could collapse an entire notion.
Well said.
That was very well
That was very
said. I
well
think that's
said,
very
yeah.
important for especially the younger men growing up to hear that, and hopefully
I
they
agree.
tune into this episode because it does sometimes seem like all, men are moving along those lines of like what are going on in those crazy podcasts and stuff like that. But there are men out there like a wall who definitely are able to reason and navigate this world differently than what's, is making the headlines. Because at the end of the day, they're mostly headlines.
I agree.
True.
That's very well said. So a recent movie came out called The Barbie Movie. There was a lot of opinions about it, a lot of debates about it, about feminism, the patriarchy, toxic masculinity. We saw a lot of famous people also talk about it, For example, Ben Shapiro is one of them. I don't know if y'all have heard of him. He's a just Republican. No, is he? Yeah, I mean, he is Republican. That makes me sound so silly. I think we're gonna have to cut that part.
You want me to check if he's.
He is Republican,
he is?
but
Okay, I didn't know if he was independent. Because some people are like independent
independent,
and.
yeah.
No, he's for sure Republican. He's this conservative. Oh, okay. Ben Shapiro, this conservative commentator. But he came out with this whole 3-hour podcast basically analyzing the Barbie movie, which honestly, I don't think there's much to analyze. It was a very straightforward movie about how this world functions and the differences of it. But yeah, he made a whole 3-hour movie about it. podcast about it, and a lot of people were jumping on and kind of agreeing with him, saying that, like, yeah, you're right. Like, it's these ultra feminists that just want to tear men down, and that's not really how our society functions. They just want to exaggerate everything. But yeah, I just wanted your all's opinions on it.
Did you end up watching it? Well,
I didn't. I wasn't able to watch the full movie, but I was able to, like, watch, you know, some significant clips.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In the movie. One significant clip that I saw was the whole speech that, like, was it Barbie who gave the speech?
Oh, you saw
or was it her human owner that gave the speech? Yeah. I saw that part, and so on the YouTube clip that I watched, I was reading the comments, and from what I could gather, I think that part of the movie is often ignored when people discuss the Barbie movie. Because, like, I can see how, like, because if you chose to ignore that one clip, I think it's very easy to paint the movie in the light that a lot of people are, like, or Ben Shapiro was trying to paint it in. I think it's very, so I think that scene was very significant. I feel like going back to, like, why would someone, like, think this way? I feel like maybe there weren't enough of those scenes explaining concepts like that. Because, like, that scene was just a straight up, it was like a straight up speech, like, directed. I mean, although, yeah, she was talking to, like, the cast in the movie. In reality, that was, like, a direct speech
to
the audience that's watching. And, yeah, that was a reasonable thing to say. You know, it made sense. So I feel like maybe there wasn't enough of those, like, just blatant facts put into that movie where it's like, we live in a society that's XYZ.
Yeah.
This is the case. We are here. We're trying to move there. So that, I feel like that moment was like, they were, like, actually pointing out, like, cool. What other, there were like a lot of implied things that could be taken the wrong way. So with the movie, like, having a lot of things about feminism or masculinity that were just implied, it is down to the audience to say, how do I want to perceive this? So if you want to perceive it as it's trying to say this, you will. If you're trying to perceive it as it's trying to say that, you will.
And honestly, that just makes me think about how illogical our society is and how much, you know, I could say a lot of things, but honestly, like, I saw it as so straightforward. And to be honest, like, I'm very much a person that, like, likes to keep it, like, I like to see both sides of the thing. Like, if I'm hitting on this person, I'm hitting on this person too. Like, I am very much an equal person. And I watched it, and I'm like, how could this just, like, you know, like, just go over someone's head? Like, it was very blatant and to the point where it's, like, you go to real society and see how things are. And, like, the Kents, for example, they take what they see in our real world where men rule everything, and then take that to Barbie Land, a place where women should be empowered, and ruin everything. And then I think what was the worst part of it for, like, red pill people was the whole aspect of how Barbie rejected Ken. Ken lost his purpose in life. Like, oh, like, the Barbies are kicking him out. He has no hope. Like, stuff like that. And literally at the ending scene, Barbie's like, you are your own person. You can do whatever you want. Your life does not have to revolve around me. What I want should not be what you want, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly, I'm shocked as to how, like, it just, like, went over people's head. Because it was such a, like, that
monumental.
Yeah, it was blatant. Yeah.
And then that ending problem, like, it literally takes into account both people here.
I feel like, okay, another thing, like, I saw about the movie is that at the beginning of the movie, when they were just in Barbie Land, that a lot of people had the problem with how supposedly, like, the Kens were acting very, for their standards, they were being very emasculated and, like, very feminine in a way. Like, they didn't represent. They were, yeah, like I guess it all goes back to the idea of, like, what a man should be.
Yeah.
And from what we've deemed it as what a man should be, those Kens weren't behaving in such manner. So, like, that, again, that was something that I guess was subtly implied by the movie, which is why someone could, like, say that, I felt like you're trying to say this.
Okay.
although it wasn't stated, like, there were, I just feel like there were a lot of implied actions, a lot of implied things that just led people to, so I don't, although, yeah, to make, like, you know, entire conclusive statements that are just, like, very strong and harsh like that, yeah, I can see why we have a problem with that, but at the same time, I can also see what led people to be where they were in terms of how they view the movie, because these subtle things, and I can just gather so many of them from the movie, it's like, oh, I've concluded that upon X amount of evidence, you are trying to say this. And then another thing with how, like you said, like the Kens brought patriarchy to Barbie Land, I think the execution of that patriarchy, I also think that's why, that's another reason why people kind of have a problem with it, because it was a very I don't want to say harsh, but it was a very
stereotypical,
not stereotypical, but it was like a straight up almost saying like I matter, you don't, simple. While so like I feel like that portrayal of patriarchy, especially in today's world, although we acknowledge that we, like, the patriarchy is still there, I feel like patriarchy, in a sense, is kind of fluid with how we're trying to progress. Although we're moving from, like, a heavy state of regression, there also is some progression. So, like, that, you know, dynamic that exists between, yeah, we're taking two steps forward, but then we're also taking one step back, but two steps forward, one step back. So that kind of dynamic exists in society where it's not, like, I mean, in current society, so it's not like a straight up, men matter, women don't.
Okay.
It's not straight up like that. While in the Barbie movie, it was kind of represented as a...
Very extreme.
Very extreme as a... I have the rights. I have the... I have the Kendom. Is that what it was called?
Yeah.
Ken's Mojo Dojo. Something.
Casa House. Ken's Casa. Mojo Dojo.
Someone
Casa
did watch
House.
The movie. Yeah.
Dang, for you to know that.
You
like,
didn't want to admit it.
Come on.
I did watch the movie. But that portrayal of okay, if we just say, if we, like, bring the patriarchy to Barbie Land, this is how it will look. I think it was very extreme. It was very harsh because even within the patriarchy that was initially existing in Barbie Land, of, well, not patriarchy, what would be, like, the feminine term for matriarchy?
Matriarchy.
Is it matriarch?
Yeah, matriarchy doesn't have the same connotation, but it does. It was a matriarch. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but even in that dynamic, although we see that the Barbies matter more, we still kind of saw, like, you know, that the Barbies were kind of inclusive in some type of way. They were kind of like doing their best to live along with the Kens and kind of like, you know, keep things normal. While when we tried to flip it, we painted a much more negative picture of saying that if it were flipped, this is how it would be. And that, you know, that positive, yeah, that, although straight, like, if you put it straight up, the Kens were being ripped off initially by the Barbies, if we want to acknowledge it in that way.
No,
I don't think so.
I mean, I feel like at the beginning,
it's literally,
I mean,
called, okay, here's my thing.
But, okay.
It was literally called Barbie Land. And I think what people forget, though, is that the movie takes place from a child's imagination, so it's a little girl playing.
But
with,
I feel like with the way this movie has gone, I feel like it has transcended more than just a child's movie, and we're trying to.
Well, it's not a child's movie, but
yeah.
I'm saying,
so
like,
I feel like we can't view it. I feel like I mean, the underlying concept of Barbie is that it is supposed to be for kids, but for what this movie has done and is trying to do, I feel like we can also take it a step beyond. This isn't just the Barbie kids movie. We're trying
to,
like,
I'm not saying
say
it's
something.
A kids movie. I'm saying, like, the actual Barbie Land, right? The way that the I guess director who set the tone of, like, how the movie was going to be paced and whatever, like, it's placed in a kind of like a child's mind. They don't blatantly say it, but, like, it's kind of supposed to be like how us girls would play with Barbies, where in the Barbie world, I remember I used to, like, focused the whole storyline on Barbie. Like, it was her, because
that's,
I'm a girl,
character.
Right? And
main character,
and in
yeah.
Barbie Land, like, girls can do anything. You can be an astronaut, you can be whatever, because the person who created Barbie wanted an opportunity for girls to see a doll that wasn't just a cook or, you know, the typical thing.
Yeah.
So I think, like, the reason why the Kens seem like they're just off to the side is because when real girls play with Barbie, like, the guys were just kind of like props. And so it's not like it was blatantly saying that they were. It was like an opportunity for the girls to be something that in the real world, they can't have, it doesn't exist.
That is the whole concept of Barbie.
Okay, but I mean, that's okay.
Giving women opportunities that they never had, like literally the...
You know, yeah, like they have like women typical Barbie. They have like, you know, astronaut Barbie. Yeah. So yeah, I did kind of peep that.
So that's why Gina, when she makes that speech, it's because like she realizes the impact that she had on one of the dolls turns like crazy or whatever. Because mm-hmm. and she realizes like, mm-hmm. or and Barbie, the main character that was her doll, yeah. starts to have feelings of anxiety, feelings like she's not good enough, and she starts to lose like her Barbie magic mm-hmm. because she's grown up. She's like, her name in the story is Gloria. Mm-hmm. So she's like grown up and like no longer, she's working in the real world. She's literally working for Barbie, like the company in real life. But then when you go to the boardroom, it was all men. Yeah. And so yeah. it was like in the real world, you know, when she was a little girl, she could be anything. And then in the real world, she's literally working for the company that would have been her dream company. And it's not like that. It's not a company that is about women. Mm-hmm. It's gone right back to the patriarchy. So I feel like that's the part that people don't talk about that makes it seem, if you isolate those two things without like that background knowledge of Barbie and like the way that it's played, it does look like men were just kind of like, because the story's like, or one of the posters says, she's Barbie and he's just Ken. It's because like when we play with Barbie, it wasn't about Ken, it was about us.
But yeah. See, again, then I would say like the same way that, you know, you're able to like derive that point from something that was subtle in the movie. There was like a lot of these implied moments that mm-hmm. it's up for you to interpret. Mm-hmm. So like, and like from my perspective of what I saw in the movie, I'm not necessarily like trying to say that. I mean, I get it. Like, you know, Barbie is the main character. Like, that made sense. But what I was like more trying to like point out was the dynamic that existed between the Barbies and Ken initially, when, you know, it was more when Barbie Land was geared towards there was a better cohesion and a more, you know, like I said, a better dynamic of it's more about me than it is about you type. Because we do have to acknowledge that, like, it is more like as the Barbies being the main characters, it's more about them than it is about the Kens, right? So when it was time to like flip that notion and make it more about the Kens than what it was about the Barbies, I feel like that portrayal didn't keep the same energy, because obviously like the way when the patriarchy was brought to Barbie Land, it was just like a straight like it was destructive.
It was like a dictatorship came in.
Yeah, that's why it's like I feel like that portrayal, that's also what made some people mad to say that like uh-huh. I don't like how you guys just, you know, basically like when they were doing it was okay, but then when it's like done, it's like, oh, bad,
it's
destructive.
When they do it, it's fine when I do it.
Yeah, so I feel like, I mean, I get where they were trying to go, but I feel like that doing it like that may not have been the best way to like accurately like to represent, mm-hmm. you know, patriarchy being brought to Barbie Land. Like, I feel like, okay, would you say that Barbie Land was initially like, you know, it was a Barbie, it's Barbie Land, so it was more about the Barbies. Mm-hmm. So like you get what I'm saying, like in the sense of like when we made it like Ken's Mojo Dojo whatever, it was like a.
I think this is so funny because somehow it always has to go back to a man. Like, why does the movie about women and women empowerment always have to go back to? But what about men? But what about men? I feel like that's the way a lot of people are taking this.
Okay, I mean, in terms of the point, are you talking about in context, like the point I was trying to make? Oh, in general,
or like men.
I mean, because I feel like we're going to talk about patriarchy, like we have to bring all parties to the table, so we can't talk about it without talking about men. So we kind of have to.
That's true. And then I found this really like good comment about the patriarchy and just the Barbie movie, and I'll just read it off. It says, Bringing the patriarchy to Barbie Land turned Kens against each other, making them lose friendship to Barbies, etc. And the main Ken's whole moral of the story is learning that he's enough as his own person and doesn't need a girlfriend to matter or base his whole sense of self around his love, life, or job. I think that pretty much paints it as a whole, because that is true. Once the whole aspect of the patriarchy was brought to Barbie Land, they all literally got into a fight with each other. They were being so competitive amongst each other. I don't remember the scene where they were, like, sitting around
the campfire.
The campfire. And they were all just competing against each other to try, like, it was some ego. Like, it was some, like, ego type of fighting where it's like, oh, I want your girl, but your girl's looking at my girl. You know, like, it's like, I don't know. Like, I think, I really like this comment. I think it really encapsulated the patriarchy in Barbie Land, and Ken's taking that patriarchy to Barbie Land. I don't know. How do you
But
feel
I just
about
feel
it?
Like they overdid it.
But
it
then,
was a little
no,
extreme.
But the thing is,
I get where
y'all
they were going.
Would be mad if you were in the theater and then they were like Avatar 2-ing the movie. Like, you know what I mean? Where they draw it out and then he's slowly becoming like more and more toxic. I think they needed to do that because, one, they're also dolls, so they had to kind of do something dramatic. Mm-hmm. And two, I think, like, from a woman's perspective, sometimes it does feel like that. Like, it does sometimes feel like if you've ever dealt with a man who really is deep into the patriarchy, it can feel like they just are, you know, there's a song in there. He's like, I want to push you down. I want to take you for granted that he sings in there, mm-hmm. that Ken sings. It's like, yeah. You feel like someone just came in your space and just like is pushing you down and oppressing like your being Barbie, like the magic mm-hmm. of Barbie. Like it goes away. You feel like you can't do anything.
Yeah.
And the system's in place. It does feel like mm-hmm. that. And I think that was the critique that they were trying to point out is that in our society, right where we are right now, especially in corporate America, mm-hmm. I'm sure there's probably women who do feel like sometimes that does yeah. happen. You walk into a meeting and like mm-hmm. you don't get to have your say. You don't get acknowledged.
I mean, yeah, like there's like, for example, like I said last time, like I went to Japan. Like one of the things that I had to like really learn and take in about Japan is that in terms of like women's rights, they are mm-hmm. so behind. Like it's wow. bad. They're behind, mm-hmm. and like okay, so like we visited like multiple companies, and we were even like, but prior to even going, we were like, they were kind of like telling us like, don't be alerted if you literally don't see any, you know, woman that's in a position of like leadership, or they're not more than just some type of assistant or receptionist. Because, like, in Japan, mm-hmm. for as advanced as they are, you know, technologically, well, I guess it's not for me to, like, deem, you know, what should be acceptable in their culture and, you know, based on what I've deemed as acceptable. But there is a push to, like, you know, get women in, you know, better positions over there, but it's just not advancing.
So there's, anyway. You said that they're mostly pushed to become secretaries.
Yeah, they don't really rise beyond yeah any like they're not gonna be given any like senior positions, mm. or like for example like you're not really gonna find any a female like board member or anything along those lines. You'll find like maybe female workers, maybe you know mm-hmm. you're a leader of a small group mm-hmm. in this section of your office, maybe cool, but otherwise in terms of like managerial levels, you will not find many women. And even in like, well, I was going to talk about their dressing culture, but I guess that varies. Like it's not really acceptable for a woman to like, it's not as acceptable for a woman to wear pants mm-hmm. professionally. Like the professional attire for a Japanese woman is usually wearing a skirt traditionally, mm-hmm. but I don't know how far along they are into that. Like in terms of like, I mean, cause I saw a woman wearing pants. So
yeah.
I don't think they're that far behind, but and just like at the higher levels of, you know, corporate, it just feels as though they're not there yet mm-hmm. in comparison to like America. I feel like really in comparison to like a lot of, because I've been to like different places, like, you know, in America, I've been to some places in Europe. I feel like there's a better sense and better understanding of women's rights. So I feel like there are still like a lot of places mm-hmm. where.
Yeah. It's very interesting.
Yeah. It's very interesting. And the weird thing is, too, like, here I've heard women say that they wish they could wear dresses and stuff to work, especially in the corporate setting. But mm-hmm. because they feel like they're not taken seriously, they have to wear like a pantsuit. So it's like interesting how like culture plays into certain aspects of like even dress, like it can be perceived a certain way in different cultures. Like here it's like if you're in pants, you're more respected as a woman naturally.
I mean, do you guys think, well, I guess pants correlate with being a man.
That's a good point.
So, in a way, like, who wears the pants in the family? Like, you feel me? So,
that's a good point.
You ate with that one.
The idea of pants just kind of correlate with being a man. So, I can see that. I can see that.
So, it's kind of like a, maybe like when they're saying we want you in a dress, it's almost like a sense of oppression because it's like, even though it's not overt, it's like kind of subtle way of saying like stay in a woman's place.
Would you in this scenario differentiate
between a dress and skirt? Because in Japan I will say like it was more geared towards skirts rather than wearing a dress.
I guess I could say skirt too like
I think it's a similar thing
I think like maybe skirts might be seen more professional than a dress. I could see that, but what I'm initially saying is that like maybe them like saying that they should wear a skirt is a way of oppressing them to stay in like that feminine space, because when women, like you said, are in like pants, it's a little bit more masculine. And like I see that even from like a
Because I feel like I mean, although like, you know, in today's world in 2023 it's very much normalized, but there was a point in time where like a woman wearing pants, that was a hurdle that although like the majority, I feel like the majority of society has kind of overcame that, that battle, that as a point, at a point in time was a battle on its own. Even like in religious terms, to this day, that is still a battle of, religiously speaking, should a woman wear pants?
That's literally the question. I had that conversation because I went to church this past weekend in pants. And I'm going to be honest, my mom was kind of like, I don't know. Like,
girl, what are you doing?
What? And I was just like, they're dress pants. You know what I mean? So it, and I felt different because it was like, I grew up, like, you have to wear a dress to church.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So it's just, it's just interesting to, like, think about how, like I said, like, there are so many like dynamics at play that if you really just sit down, like
we could go on.
We ourselves have gone on. But
So this episode is actually going to be cut into two parts. So you can have a part one and a part two. No, but we thank you for listening to today's episode. If there's any resources, we will put them in the description box so that you can continue to chime in and to be educated more on this topic. Again, thank you for coming. I'm Tapiwa.
I'm Awal.
I'm Hava.
And you've been listening to Hash It Out. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.